Take your Bibles now, and I'd like to ask you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 38. And I'm not so much going to try to preach on prophecy. You'd think that going to Ezekiel 38, but I want you to notice some of these countries that are mentioned here, and I want you to notice one in particular that is not mentioned in the end times, and that is America. A lot of people want to know what is going to happen. What will the future hold for America? What is America's place in prophecy? And that's what we want to talk about today. But I want you to look at Ezekiel 38, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog." Gog, you might want to write out there, is the ruler. The man on top, Gog, the land of Magog, that is the person or the prince. And so he talks about the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech. When we're talking about some of these nations, some of them are nations formerly part of the Soviet Union and other places that fit into that. We don't really have time to go into delineating those things, but the Soviet Union, those different areas that the Bible is talking about. Then he talks about the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, Moscow, Tobolsk. Some scholars say that one of those areas is Turkey, and he's talking about a prophecy against them. Verse 3, "And say, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back, put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." Now he's mentioning some more countries. Persia, I believe that would be modern Iran as we know it today. Ethiopia would probably be South Africa, and Libya, maybe North Africa. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all the bands in the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Gomer would probably refer to East Europe and Germany, in that area, Togarma, the Cossacks, the Russians, Turkey, as he brings those into memory again. And verse 7, "Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou guard against them." And then he talks about, "After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them." So he mentions a number of places that we're familiar with, Turkey and Russia and some of the other countries in Africa and the Arab nations that he's talking about. But you don't see anything mentioned here or anywhere in Bible prophecy about America as far as the future. Let's say looking forward from this day forward, we don't find any specific things in the Bible that talks about America. And that is a very disturbing thing, because America right now is the leading nation on the face of the earth. And I'm a patriot. And I love America, and I love the flag, and I'm glad that we have the country that we have. But when we look back, we see some of the things that are going to take place. It is very, very definite that the Bible talks about some countries. It's not vague like Nostradamus or any of those things. It's very specific as he's talking about those things. One of the key events in the future we know is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come back, and the rapture is going to take place. And then there'll be 7 years of what we would call the tribulation on the face of the earth. A one world government in a one world religion. We know it now pretty much as globalism, and you hear that term all the time right now. But here we are, a nation that is a leading nation, America, the strongest military nation as far as we can discern today. We are a friend of Israel, thank God we have been, and I believe the people in America still are. And out of all of these nations, 15 different mentioned people groups specifically, in the old revived Roman Empire, nothing is said about America, nothing is said about the West. Why is that? Why is it that America is not mentioned? There are some different scenarios that we have. And by the way, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. And sin, or but sin, is a reproach to any people. And that would mean even a great nation like our nation. And if we get away from that, we are going to pay the price. Some say that America is mentioned, maybe not explicitly. They say maybe it's mystical Babylon, but I don't believe the Bible proves that to be part of that. It talked about in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. I don't believe that's what it's talking about. Some say it's an unnamed nation mentioned, one that is mentioned in Isaiah 18. I don't believe that fits it at all. There are those who say that America is the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and that British Israelites and so on and so forth. And that certainly does not pan out at all in the Word of God. But I just believe it really isn't mentioned in the Bible. But there are five or six scenarios where we deal with what's going to happen to America and why it's going to happen. And I believe that America probably is going to be reduced, and some folks don't like to hear this, but we have to tell the truth about it. I believe we could be reduced to a second-rate power, or to be non-existent as a world power in the very near future. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, and I'm not trying to panic you. If you're saved, you don't panic. You just believe and live by faith. But what are some of the reasons that I believe America is really in that predicament and in that position today, near in that position today? One of those is the word oil. Oil is so vitally important. We are so dependent in America on oil. Where's that oil going to come from? In 1973, some of you remember the Arab oil embargo. And that was something that they did that to us because of the Yom Kippur War and because the Jews had such success in that six-day war. Some of you would remember, how many of you do remember the long lines here in America where we waited a long time? I remember driving 100 miles to from where I pastored to my wife's folks' home, and we never were sure we were going to get back home just that 100, 108 miles, because you had to wait in lines, and some of the stations had it, some of them didn't. And that was a time when we imported 35% of our oil, and what an outrage for something like that to happen. Now, may I say to you that it's a lot worse than that. It's 70%. Of the oil that is imported, maybe more than that, according to the latest statistics. We use 20 million barrels a day, 7.6 billion barrels of oil a year here in America. If there were a natural disaster, and we see some of that going on right now, and we've had more than our share lately, it seems like, but if we have a great national disaster, even greater than that, or an embargo against us, or terrorists get into action and all of that, then we're in trouble. Because we're using more oil than the next 20 countries after us here in America. We have to have it. 80% of the Americans use cars. We have to have oil. And we get to and from work with that. We use 1/4 of all of the oil that is used. Suppose suddenly, because they got madder at us, And who knows what's going to happen in the future? That oil and gas, rather, goes up to $8 to $10 a gallon, and you're spending $200 to fill up your gas tank. How much driving do you think you're going to do? How do you think it's going to impact the economy? What's it going to do to those who deliver our goods, who those truck drivers who would have to pay that and more per gallon? It could happen, and we could see closed signs in gas stations like they're seeing already up there where the disaster has taken place. We think it would not happen. Friend, it can happen, and it can happen very quickly. And it may be part of the scenario of what's going to happen. Saudi Arabia has all of those pipelines, and with the terrorist attacks, they have tried that already to blow up those pipelines. One of these days, if they keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, they're going to get it done. They are persistent, and they will get it done. So if there was a real disruption, we'd have problems. We're now getting close to an oil break point, what some would refer to as an oil break point. In other words, the worldwide demand exceeds all of the oil that is being produced. It exceeds all of that, and there's so much used and so much produced, and they're already pumping 90%. If they go up 10%, we're going to be in trouble. Oil is just not going to be available to us sometime. If it's available to anyone, it's going to be to China and India, because they have the money to buy it now. And we don't have the money to buy oil now like we think we do. We are now, listen to me, we are now a debtor nation. We are a debtor nation, and we are not able to handle the debt. And in the future, 120 million barrels of oil a day. And I want to tell you that China and India are going to be the ones that are going to have the money, and they'll be able to do that. 20% of the world's oil comes through has to come through the Straits of Hormuz. And in that strait, if Israel continues, and you see it in the news all the time, if Israel continues to disrupt Iran's making nuclear things and their nuclear advancement, then Iran is on the east side of the Straits of Hormuz, and all they've got to do is mine that, and then that would stop the oil flow, and it would impact the United States of America. I don't know if you've noticed lately, they don't like us. They're not our friends. We get oil from Canada. We get oil from Venezuela and Mexico, 5%. By the way, in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, he loves America, doesn't he? He really loves us, and he's a renegade. But all of this that comes through there, maybe 45% from North Africa, the Middle East, that's all subject to terrorism and subject even though they're far away. Now, you say, well, preacher, what should we be doing? Well, we need to get some leaders and leadership to take action and get us out of this situation. Amen. That's what we need to do. We have natural gas that is plentiful. We have more natural gas than they have in these gluts over there in the Middle East. But nobody is allowing things to be done in order for us to do that. And the Americans are very, very difficult to change their ways. But I'm just pointing out to you that we need to do something about that. And we're just seeing some of the birth pangs right now. It's not here yet, but it could happen. And we know that if you read Revelation chapter 6, inflation is going to be so bad that people are not even going to be able to buy and sell. And if they do, it'll have to take the mark of the beast. And there are going to be a lot of things that are going to cost a lot of money in that day that you would not believe would cost that much money. The end times, Antichrist is going to be the world leader, and America will not be in that picture as a strong nation. Here's a second thing that might be part of it, and that is economic disaster. Bankruptcy. Are we close to bankruptcy in America? Yes, we are. We really are. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to give you the facts. And I can tell you that leaders, if you talk to leaders and know what the leaders are saying and writing, they're very, very worried about the economic disaster that we're facing. in the last election, 2010, that's really what most of it was about, and some $14.3 trillion of debt. If I can illustrate it like this, if it was a credit card and you were spending, you had thousands of dollars worth of credit card debt, and all you were doing was spending $1,000 a month, and you were not doing anything to the principal, you were only paying off just a little bit of the interest that is paid, and we're not even able to do that, then friend, it wouldn't be long until you're going to be in a mess. I've had to counsel couples that did that. Listen, when your outgoes more than your income, your upkeep will be your downfall, even if you are the USA. It's a mathematical, and math is a perfect art. It is a mathematical reality. If you keep spending more than you take in, you're going to get in trouble. And you're going to have some problems, and our country is that way right now. And we have to deal with that. And we can't, a lot of people get another credit card and pay off the other credit card, and then finally they get another credit card, pay this and that, and sooner or later, friend, it's going to catch up with you. And whether it's an individual, whether it's a nation, it's that way. No individual could do that. Next year we'll be borrowing somewhere around $2.63, maybe more, dollars. Listen, every minute. Let that sink in. Every minute. And I know figures don't grab your heart, but borrowing $2.63 million every minute, that would be, let me put it in these terms, 752 flat screen TVs every minute. And nobody can afford that. You couldn't afford that, and our country can't afford that. No individual could. In 1988, 13%. 2007, 25% was owed to other nations. 2009, 44% owed to other nations. And who knows what we really owe to them right now. And friend, when you talk about what ruined ancient cultures, what ruined countries, the number one thing that comes to the top is debt. The number one thing, because they could not afford to keep their military up, and people who hated them would come in and take over their country, and that would be part of the major reason of their downfall. Ultimately, it affects the military and those things, and then the demise of a country. Now, this year, or right about now, the baby boomers are going to start collecting Social Security and Medicare. When we had the baby boomer period in the United States, those that are 65 or over, and they expect to receive checks. Where's that money going to come from? The government has not saved money, and the government has used most of that money, and we now have unfunded liabilities. Our country has unfunded liabilities. How much does the government owe people right now that are 65 years of age and over? And you senior citizens, listen up. Medicare Part A, hospital care, $36.7 trillion that they owe. Part B, where you go to a doctor and get a checkup and it pays maybe for part of that, $37 trillion more. Part D, the prescription drugs, owing $15.6 trillion more, a total of over $89 trillion. Just that, just in the Medicare and Social Security dollars. Add that, $107 trillion, and the government doesn't have it. It's unfunded. We don't have it. You add to the current national debt $14 trillion, liabilities run up to about 120, not million or billion, but $1 trillion, and you can't imagine what that would be like. But let me put it this way. Every person in the United States right now owes $380,000 plus. You owe $380,000 plus. Doesn't that make you feel good? Aren't you glad you came to church today? And if you have a family of four, you owe $1.5 million on this debt that is unfunded. That's the way it is. One senator said years ago, a million here and a million there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. Well, folks, we're talking about real money. We are talking about real money. And we have one of the number one problems today, of course, is the economic situation and the financial situation. And it's easy to bring us to be, at some point soon, a following nation instead of a leading nation. They call it the financial flu. Now, one nation sneezes and everybody else gets it and is affected by it. Greece and all those places, listen, that affects us, and we have affected them. And that's why we're having all that turmoil that we're having, and it's reverberating around the world and has been since 2008. And then we have the military spending 41.5% of all of the military spending in the world. I'm not against that. I'm for military spending. I think you can cut a lot of other places before you cut the military strength. I mean a lot of other places and a lot of other money. But 2009, the defense budget was $642 billion. You add all of that to Social Security and the other things, you're up to about $677 billion. And add all of them together, about two-thirds of America's budget is right there. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that there are some problems, and that's why they want to pull out from these wars that where we help free some people and try to fight for liberty for the rest of the world. And I know this is very controversial, and some want to pull out and all of that, and I don't see any need to just grind away and grind away. But I'm telling you, when we turn it over to them and tell them when it's going to happen and give them a date for when it's going to happen, they're just sitting already. And when that happens, the Middle East is going to be in a vacuum of power there. And I guarantee you that the Muslims are going to go in and they're going to take advantage of that. And we're going to pay the price before it's over with. There'll be a power vacuum in the Middle East. Someone will move in and take over that vacuum. I believe ultimately it'll be the revived Roman Empire. I believe that's going to come, and the Bible certainly talks about that. Rome never existed in the form of 10 rulers, and I don't have time to go into all the details about the 10 toes and so on and so forth, but I can tell you the revived Roman Empire is there in principle right now. Now, you have a lot more countries that are involved in the European Union, but that can be isolated and hammered down. They can isolate countries and it can be trimmed right on down to the 10. And I believe that they're fighting right now for globalism. And I believe the present leadership of our country, by and large, is for globalism. And I think that's a very, very sad thing. But the euro right now is stronger than the American dollar. And just a few years back, you'd have never dreamed that it would be that way. And so they're going to say the answer is globalism. We'd call them the G10 group that brings this cashless society and a one world currency. And then if that happens, we're going to see a great deal of financial failure, even more so in our country. What we need to do is get our house in order. And if we don't do it, and do it soon, things in the Middle East and Israel, with Israel, all of that is very uncertain. We cannot give up. We have to have hope. And then the third area, I believe, is the threat of the nuclear threat that we are under all the time. I don't think Americans really comprehend what that really means. We've had people out there that hate us, folks. They despise this country. They hate this country. They think we are the bad people. We're the evil. And that Israel is the little evil. And they would love to blow us off the map. They would do it in a New York minute if they had the capability right now. Don't ever think they wouldn't do it. And again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the possibility is there. And we know what happened back in 9/11 a few years back. And the things that took place, and we know that there's that desire out there for nuclear war power, biological disease, technology, all of these things that are there. The United Kingdom did a little deal in one of their papers just as a mock thing, and they said Washington was laid to waste. Thousands are dead because of a nuclear bomb. And they were just throwing out a scenario of the possibility of what could happen in the United States of America. And the Center for the different relations that have to do with the foreign relations, their committee, or the senators on that committee, I should say, talk about a dirty bomb, and they recognize that and the many things that are possible there to do that. And some say by 2015, they judge that about 40% would be biological warfare, and many of these rogue nations that are out there are going to get it. They're going to have the power. Iran, the terrorists, it's growing all over the world. Netanyahu talked about Iran. He said that they were the militant Shiites in Iran have weapons that want to wipe Israel off of the map. And within a decade, he said, that they would have the capability to hit the east coast of the United States of America. Where's America going to be? Where are we going to be? These are just some of the things. And then one of the worst scenarios that about all of these things could happen at one time. They can all fall into place at one time. There's another one that you may not have thought of, and that is the rapture. The rapture. If all the Christians were taken out of the United States of America, do you think it would impact our economy or our country in those things? Obviously, it would. I know there's a certain percentage that think that there are very few saved, but if you take all the saved people out of Dallas and Fort Worth at one time, and all the saved people out of this church would let Brother Rigsby stay and pastor it, and Brother Johnson could be the music director. No, they'll go up in the rapture, I believe. But if you take all of the people out, all of a sudden, Christ comes and catches up his bride and raptures us. And we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because you cannot come with your saints and for your saints at the same time. First, he comes for the saints. And if around the whole world and in the United States, which is the primary Christian nation above all other nations, and you take the Christians out at one time, let me tell you, it would impact this country and would certainly weaken it. And who knows what God would have in store for it after his bride's taken out of here. And then all of these different things are possibilities. But we know that Jesus is going to come again. I don't have time to really go into that. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. If you'll look there just a second. 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 51. We often use this at a graveside. He says, behold, verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. I'm going to reveal something to you. It's been a mystery up to now. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's fast, folks. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, Jesus is coming again. The Greek word moment, the Greek word is atomos. We get our word atom, split. In a moment, in a split moment, in a split second, the blink of an eye, we'll be out of here. And that's what we have to look forward to. You see, what hope do you have? Say, preacher, that's a pretty bleak picture. What hope do we have? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And friend, if you haven't been saved, if you're not born again, you have no hope. You have no hope. You don't even have the hope of the rapture. All you have is the reality of the fact that you would die and go to hell someday. I'm telling you, God is working. Things are moving. One of these days, and it could happen any moment, there's not one thing that has to be fulfilled before the trumpet sounds. Not one. The signs and all those things have to do with before Christ comes back with His saints, but not one thing has to be fulfilled. Are you ready? What is your hope? What is your hope? Our hope had better be in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is in control, folks. And the greatest peace you'll ever have is the peace of the gospel. Knowing you're saved. You say, preacher, doesn't all this scare you? I will honestly tell you that I don't like it. And I don't like to think about it. But I can tell you this. God's on the throne. And I have perfect peace in my heart. Because I'm saved. And no matter what comes, and I don't believe we're going to go through the tribulation. We'll go through some problems, and we may go through more than we think we'll go through. But with Jesus Christ, we can make it. And we have to have a positive outlook as God's children, as born-again children, and look to the Lord. And I want to add a little footnote, as Dr. Barber says here. Everybody ought to vote. You see, when the righteous are in authority, then the nation is blessed. And the Bible says that when God's people get right, God will bless us and hear our cry and revive us. If God revived the city of Nineveh, God can revive America. Amen. We just need to fall on our faces before Him and ask for His help and ask for God to give us an extension of His grace. And I believe you should be registered, a little too late now probably, but you that are registered ought to vote. And I want to go out on a limb right here. I'm at retirement age. If you run me off, I'll just retire anyway. So I can walk out on that limb now. But you say, I'm not voting for a Mormon. Let me tell you, that Mormon lines up with us in some areas. You're not voting for a pastor. You're not voting for a religious leader per se. You've got to look at the two things and see who is pro-abortion and who isn't. And who is for same-sex marriage and who isn't. And who is for the homosexual agenda and who isn't. And who is on the side of Israel as God wants us to be and who isn't. And then vote Bible, vote for the right one, and go to the polls. Go there and vote. It is our responsibility as Christians to preserve the freedom that men and women have died for just so we could go vote. And we're going to stay at home. By the way, I already voted. I started to wear my little tag and it wouldn't stick good. I'd already worn that. Amen. She's voted too. Tell me after church who you voted for. Don't tell me right now. But I want to tell you, we need to vote. It's your right to vote. But it has something to do with it. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And so we need to recognize that and do it. And you ought, I just believe that Christians are remiss. Do you know that half of the Christians, they say, are not registered, and half of those who are registered don't even vote? Christians, do you know that some people have been put in office, presidents, by just one vote? Just one vote. You need to be careful who you're voting for, by the way. A dog got elected mayor to a city in Tennessee one time. It's the truth. It's on record. So be careful what you're voting for and who you're voting for. And be an informed voter. Know what the issues are. We've got some things, by the way, out in the lobby. If you'll pick one up, it just gives it to you, and you can make up your own mind, I hope. If you have one good eye and road walking sense, you can make up your own mind. All right? And that isn't going to be the cure-all of everything, but I'm going to tell you, righteousness exalteth the nation. Amen. And that is a Bible principle, and we need to realize it. And I'll just say, His will be done. Amen. If Alabama wins, I'll live with it. Amen. If the voting doesn't go the way I want it to, God's in charge. Amen. And we just have to go on doing what God has called us to do. What God has called us to do. But let me tell you, folks, if you're not saved, you don't have any hope. You need to get saved today. Get saved today. Be ready to meet the Lord. Because God is moving. God is moving. And we are seeing it all over the world. God is moving. And I believe it won't be very long until we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet. You say, but I got plans. Your plans aren't not nearly as exciting as the rapture of the Christians. Not nearly as exciting. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and folks, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what's out there and what can happen. In America is not mentioned. Scholars verify very clearly that it isn't mentioned in the Bible prophecy of the end time. So you figure out where we're going to be, what's going to be. But here's the thing. You can be safe. Safe in the arms of Christ. Would you come and be saved today? Maybe God is leading you to rededicate your life. That's what we need too, is God's people to be right with God. When the righteous are in authority, when the righteous are right, are you right with God today? Maybe God is leading you to join our church. You like an old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and God's leading you, we invite you to come, whatever the need may be. Again, Lord, I ask you to have your will now in this invitation. Oh, Lord, if there's somebody here without Jesus, I pray they'd be saved today. That they would humble themselves even as you did when you went to the cross to die for them. That they would come and accept Christ. Help us as believers to pray for our country. Lord, it would be good if some of our folks right where they are would pray that kind of prayer. And some would come to this old altar tonight. Pray that the elections would go according to your will. Pray that your will would be done as you work. That we might have this responsibility and feel it and know it. May you have your will, God. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.